Let's start in Brooklyn, who last night became the hot spot in New York, adding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving for deals that will approach $300 million.
After a long rebuild, the Brooklyn Nets are finally loaded, with a roster stacked with homegrown talent and some of the league's biggest stars. But will KD and Kyrie buy into the Nets' way of doing things? Or will they want to go their own way? ESPN senior writer Jackie McMullen takes us inside a team at a turning point. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, October 30th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Jackie, right now, the Nets are one of the more star-studded teams in basketball. This summer, they went out and signed Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. And while KD's not playing this year, they are still seen as contenders. But back in 2016, when Coach Kenny Atkinson first came on board, what did this team look like?
And it was just a lot of hope and nothing much to base it on. They won 20 games his first year. They didn't win a game in February, and they honestly really didn't have any genuine talent.
Right, they traded for aging vets like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Well, it's funny, Billy King and Prokhorov before them decided to put all their chips in and give away all of their future first-round picks. I mean, it was one of the most lopsided deals in history. It's one thing, right, to have young players and not win a lot of games. I think we call that tanking. But they couldn't even do that because they weren't even eligible to get the draft picks. The draft picks were going to the Boston Celtics, who are picking guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum with those picks.
So the Nets were behind the eight ball. Then when they hired a new GM, Sean Marks, in 2016, what was his approach?
Well, Sean was he's just so smart, and Kenny's the same way. They were really stuck on, what's our culture going to be? We're going to play unselfishly. It's going to be a player-first organization. We're going to stress analytics. We're going to stress player performance. And so you needed the right kind of player to buy into that. Now, you know, a guy like Joe Harris, who hadn't accomplished anything yet, of course he was going to buy in. But that's why they stayed away from some of the veterans, because they were afraid they wouldn't. And they just felt it was really important to establish that foundation as they went forward here.
So this culture that the Nets were establishing, it was markedly different from the rest of the NBA?
It wasn't that it was revolutionary, but they just took it to another level. Check out the Brooklyn practice facility. It's the nicest one in the league. It's, you know, cold tubs, hot tubs, state-of-the-art pools to help with conditioning. There's a rooftop that has the most magnificent view of the New York skyline. They wanted to make their facility so attractive that guys would want to stay there every day. If you come in, let's say it's a practice day, you get a text the night before, and they'll say to you, okay, your table time is at, let's just say, 8:30 in the morning. So you go to your table, and they have a physical therapist there, they have a massage therapist there, and they say, what hurts? Wouldn't you love that, Mina? I don't know, I'd love table time. How do I sign up in my own home? And so you get 20 minutes, 30 minutes, they work on whatever's bothering you, whatever hurts, and then you go into the weight room for about a half an hour. Then you go onto the court for individual one-on-one work, and that can last up to 45 minutes. So you've already spent 2 hours at the facility, and you haven't even started practice yet. So that is a little different than other places.
So the Nets, they build this very distinct culture, right? They're really rebuilding because of how ravaged the roster was. When does it start to work?
Obviously, it really wasn't working that first year.
2 seconds, 1 second for the win. It's off the mark. It is unraveling for Brooklyn.
You know, DeAndre Jordan told me, oh, yeah, you know, I remember going in there and thinking, wow, these guys play hard. I mean, we're going to kill them, but they're going to play hard, you know. So the second year, it got a little better. And I think really it was last year they started to see some of the dividends.
Outside Harris. Machine.
Joe Harris led the league in three-point shooting percentage last year. And all of a sudden, all this work and this culture seemed to kick in a little bit. They won 42 games, way ahead of schedule. I don't think Sean or Kenny expected to make the playoffs within 3 years, but that's what happened.
Brooklyn clinches a playoff spot They had not made the playoffs in 8 of the last 11 years.
You know, Kenny Atkinson's reputation has gone off the charts in his time there, because even players who leave, like Jared Dudley and Damari Carroll, tell everybody, yeah, he works you hard, but man, is he all about you. And then the same thing has happened with Sean Marks. They put the players first. And in this day and age, is there anything more that an NBA player wants to hear than, we're going to put you first? What do you need?
So the Nets establish their own culture and their team's increasingly competitive. At the same time, what was going on with Kyrie, KD, and DeAndre?
So Jordan and Durant and Kyrie were all on the 2016 Olympic team in Rio. They were on a boat, a cruise liner. The boat was quite elegant. An open pool, a sauna, several dining rooms, a cigar bar, because every NBA player needs that, 24-hour room service, beds that were specially made for 7-foot basketball players. KD and Jordan were already really, really super tight. In fact, I think right before the Olympics, they went and got tattoos together in Vegas to prepare for the Rio Games. Now, Durant had great respect for Kyrie's game, but he didn't know him that well. So they get to Rio. Now, remember, Kyrie's just hit that big shot to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
And Kyrie was tired. Been a long year. He made the big shot. So he wasn't really invested the way Durant wanted him to be. And he said something to him. He challenged him. And, you know, Durant told me the other day that the way Kyrie responded, which was favorably and positively and said, yep, you're right, I got to give you more, was, you know, the beginning of their bond. So one of their last nights in Rio, they're clinking drinks at one of the many bars and lounges on that ship. And Kyrie said, you know, we should do this for real. And DeAndre Jordan said, well, what do you mean? He said, we should all play together.
So the groundwork for these three players playing together is laid on this boat outside Rio 3 years ago. What happens this summer? How do they finally come together?
Well, that's a good question. You know, they say that they all got on a conference call and said, hey, let's do this.
And then with Katie and DJ, it was, you know, 4:16 in the morning, us just talking about our futures. And later on that day, we just decided, hey, we're just going to break this. Like, we're doing this together.
That's what they have to say, because tampering would be at work. I do believe, remember the very famous view I think you and I talked about together on Around the Horn?
Kyrie and Durant talking in the tunnel after the All-Star game.
Durant and Kyrie whispering to each other in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And now being lip read by some of the top lip readers in the world.
I bet that's what they were talking about. There's no doubt in my mind. I bet they were texting all the time. These guys text a lot. They were in touch with one another. I'm sure it was in the works for a while. I don't know if we'll ever know that for sure, just because of how tampering works in the league.
Coming up, KD thinks Kyrie is an artist. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I wanted to reach out, especially when free agency started, to Brooklyn and let them know that my interest was very high. And I had some other pieces that I wanted to bring with me as well. And this is the perfect place to do it.
That was Kyrie Irving at the Nets Media Day in September. What is it specifically about this team that led these three players there?
Kyrie was going to go there. You know, Kyrie told me. Once it went sour with Boston, that's where I was going. You know, he's a New Jersey guy, but he was a New Jersey Nets fan most of his life. That was his team. And even though they're the Brooklyn Nets now, he still feels a kinship to that team. And, you know, Kevin Durant is a very thoughtful guy. Now, it's apparent to me now after talking to Amina for this story that all of us who speculated that he was going to leave Golden State almost no matter what, we were right. He just was ready for a new chapter, a new challenge. And he was online on YouTube looking up Sean Marks, looking him up as a player, as an assistant GM. What did he stand for? What was he all about? And so, you know, he was very careful in looking through all these franchises, checking their revenues, checking all these things that I, you know, most players I don't think really think about, but Kevin Durant did. And the Nets checked the boxes. They were a responsible organization with a brand new owner who was willing to spend money and wants to win. And they had a good young core. And that was something that Kyrie, DeAndre, and Kevin Durant all talked about. LeVert is locked up. Joe Harris just signed a 2-year deal. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie's going to be with the team for a while. They liked those young players. And that you take those three guys and you add them to the three core guys you've just signed, they're not going anywhere. So there's not going to be guys who are opting out in a year. They're going to be staying put. And I think that was very attractive to everybody concerned.
That's what I find so fascinating about the Nets this season. You know, Jackie, you describe how they built a very distinct culture, a culture that seems designed to accommodate younger players, veterans, guys who need work and need development. Now they've got three players who don't really need any of that. And I wonder how that marries together.
Well, that's the crux of the whole thing, of the whole experiment. Can they make this work? Can they give and take? Now, you know, Durant tells me, yeah, that's give and take. Hey, look, our routines are sacred. And you know that from covering professional athletes. Once they find something that works, they're really loath to change it. So when their team goes down to Santa Monica with the performance staff in the summer for 2 days and they want the guys to weigh wearables, is it shocking that Kyrie goes, yeah, I'm not doing that? Probably not, right? But how does it affect the rest of the team? Because they believe in it. They've been working with these performance guys and they have stock in it. And if Kyrie isn't participating, what does that do to that culture we were talking about?
You quote KD as saying, I look at Kyrie as somebody who is an artist. You have to leave him alone.
That was my favorite quote of the whole story.
Well, it seems very both spot on and also highly accommodating.
Right. And listen, Kevin Durant's never played with Kyrie Irving for real. I don't count the Olympics. That's fantasy land. You're on a boat, for crying out loud. Doesn't count. So when you have to play with him and you have to depend on each other to win championships, KD says in the story, I'm going to leave him alone. I'm 100% on board with how he does what he never needs to do to get ready. But I'm going to say that once they get together, and that probably won't be till next year, in a moment that KD needs something from Kyrie, I don't think he's going to hesitate to tell him. I mean, that's how their friendship started in the first place, when he called him out for not playing hard enough in Rio. And Kyrie responded to that. So I'd be really surprised if Kevin Durant is completely hands-off with the guy that he needs to help him win a championship for the Nets.
You mentioned that Kyrie hasn't shown up to everything so far. Have there been any other signs that these stars haven't quite merged into the Nets culture?
Well, you know, I think Kyrie is very much his own man. There was a little incident in China. They were doing a team photo at the Pearl Tower, and they asked him to take off his hat, and he wouldn't. And, you know, these things happen with him. Very much beats to his own drum. And they said, well, we really want you to take it off. And he said, oh, you could just Photoshop it out. Now, that's a little thing. Are you going to get all worked up about that? I don't think so. But it's symptomatic of Kyrie and how he can, you know, take a stand. There was a day in China where Kyrie was in one of his funks, and it was really difficult for everyone from the Nets to see. They hadn't seen it before. Because when he gets like that, and I've been around him when he gets like that, he's very non-communicative. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He doesn't want to talk to his coaches, the GM, the players, anything. And so, you know, how do you navigate that?
You spoke with Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks for this piece, the two architects of this Nets culture. How did they sound when speaking about their ability to integrate these stars into that culture?
Well, I think Sean is determined to do it. You know, for him, it's all about communication and trust. And that's, you know, what they've built their team on. And he's going to keep plowing away at it. You know, Kenny doesn't have that luxury. He doesn't have time, right? He's got to win games, got to get these guys all on the same page. You know, one of the things Kenny did say to me was, look, I give and take is fine with me. Look, these guys, I'm going to learn from them. They've won championships. I haven't. So that's probably a pretty good way to approach it. But he also said there'll be lines in the sand. So it'll be interesting to see what those lines are. You know, one thing about Kyrie and Durant both, you can never say about them that they don't work at it. Kyrie and Kevin Durant are both gym rats. It's never going to be a question of do they put in the time. That's just never going to be an issue. So then it becomes an issue of, well, can they put in the time in concert with some of the visions we have? And I think Sean and Kenny are pretty open-minded about trying to find that middle ground.
What has to happen for this Nets team to be considered a success?
Oh, I think they have to win a championship, and I think they know it. You bring on Durant, Irving, you're going to try to win the whole thing. Any team that Kevin Durant is on immediately becomes an NBA favorite. My question has always been with both Durant and Kyrie, they're wanderers a little bit. What are they looking for? What is it that's going to make them happy? Will they ever find it? And I can't tell you with any certainty that this is the place that it'll happen. But I think at this moment, they both feel like it is.
Thanks, Jackie. I'll see you at table time.
Cool. I want the physical therapist.
After the story came out, the Nets organization and head coach Kenny Atkinson pushed back on the notion that Irving had any negative impact on the team.
That is completely false. Strictly speaking of my observation, my experience with them so far, it's absolutely not true.
ESPN stands by its reporting. I'll be back in a moment with one more story. Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers and an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. That was a story you needed to know. Now here's one I want you to know. As anyone who spent any time online knows, the internet can be a treacherous place, especially on NFL trade deadline day. Thanks to the likes of Adarn Schefter and other imposters, you have to be wary of getting got, and not just when it comes to fake trades. Yesterday, while I was refreshing Shefty's feed over and over like a teenage girl waiting for Jonas Brothers tickets to go on sale, or an adult woman, I noticed a few tweets declaring that the NCAA was going to finally permit athletes to be compensated for their names, images, and likenesses. I was thrilled. This has been a long time coming. And while most athletes won't be affected, allowing some of them to profit from their talents is the right thing to do and would hardly destroy college sports as we know it. Then I realized I got. Because when I clicked on the NCAA's actual statement, I saw that they're only considering it. And they also dropped a bunch of caveats about how, in doing so, they're bent on preserving the, quote, collegiate model, which is to say, they're bent on preserving their business model by limiting athletes' ability to partake. Now, that said, I do think change is on the horizon. Ever since California passed a law that would allow athletes to make money off of endorsements and other opportunities, a number of states around the country have followed suit. But I don't think the regulators are going to give in easily. And much like Trent Williams wasn't actually traded to the Browns yesterday, curse you, Adarn Schefter, the NCAA didn't actually do the right thing. At least not yet. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.